produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We have a Thanksgiving special for you today. We'll have music, comedy, and an interview with PBS travel host and Normal Advisory Board member Rick Steves. We conducted our interview with Rick this July, and it stands out as one of our best. It's rare to find an individual who's attained celebrity status to be so approachable, open, and passionate about the topic of marijuana law reform. Rick Steves is the internationally respected host, writer, and producer of the popular public television series Rick Steves Europe and the best-selling author of 30 European travel books. He encourages Americans to delve deep into Europe and become temporary locals. Over the last 15 years, Rick has hosted over 100 travel shows for public television that began with travels in Europe with Rick Steves. Since then, he's become one of public television's top pledge drive hosts, raising millions of dollars annually for stations across the U.S. His current Rick Steves Europe TV series has grown to 59 half-hour shows, carried by 312 public television stations annually and reaching 95% of U.S. markets. Rick writes and co-produces his television programs through his company, Backdoor Productions. Rick also recently launched a weekly public radio program, Travel with Rick Steves. Pens columns for newspapers and magazines, is a contributing writer for ABCNews.com, and a regular on the op-ed page of USA Today. Rick Steves is also a dynamic social activist in the arenas of ending homelessness, environmental awareness, and decriminalizing marijuana. Rick sits on Normal's advisory board, and it's a true honor to sit down today with one of America's best ambassadors here on the Audio Stash. Rick, thanks again for joining us here on the program today. And first I have to ask, you're on Normal's advisory board. Why do you feel it's important to be personally involved with the issue of marijuana decriminalization and to get involved with Normal?
Well, I believe our society is embracing a lot of lies lately, and I'm just tired of people being kind of lacking courage when it comes to stepping out and saying the truth. And this can be issues of civil rights and war and peace or economic justice or whatever. And to me, just personally, I'm sort of offended by a war on marijuana that's based on lies and fear. And I think, to me, Normal is not a charity, but it's a service. It advocates for people who believe that adults have the right to use marijuana creatively in the privacy of their own homes. And I think that people who appreciate marijuana or people who have friends that appreciate and enjoy marijuana and don't like the fact that Americans are being arrested for something that's about as thrilling as a bottle of beer in other countries, Normal provides a great service.
Of course, you spent a lot of time and still spend a lot of time over in Europe. Does spending that time overseas give you a different perspective on the United States and how we treat pot?
Yeah, when you travel, you learn a lot about your own country. And Europeans especially are really good at in a friendly way expecting a lot of us and challenging us, and I just love to talk with Europeans about various social policy issues. And you know, every country's got its drug problems, and people certainly shouldn't think that because I would support Normal's work that I'm an advocate of drug abuse. You know, I should make it really clear. Reforming marijuana laws has nothing to do with letting kids have access to marijuana. It has nothing to do with lightening up on the approach to hard drug abuse. In fact, it's not drug abuse at all. Nobody's saying we should just open the gates and let people drive under the influence of pot any more than they're saying drive under the influence of alcohol. There's just a sane approach to marijuana, and that, I think, is borne out by the track record that European countries have had after the last decade of not arresting people for smoking pot. I think in the Netherlands they've got a very nice approach to this. In the Netherlands and in much of Europe, they really believe that a society has to make a choice, tolerate alternative lifestyles or build more prisons. And then they'll tell me right after that, in America has more people in prison per capita than I think any other developed and civilized nation.
And since you have been vocal on the topic of marijuana here in the U.S., are you getting questions from folks when you travel overseas about U.S. policy? And, you know, what kind of questions are you getting maybe from the Europeans?
Well, Europeans are put off by a lot of righteousness by the United States. You know, they think we can have whatever sort of moral hang-ups or concerns that we want to have, but they don't understand why we have to inflict those ideals on other countries. We're so judgmental, and they're not judgmental of us as we are judgmental of them. I've got friends in Denmark that tell me every year they have to arrest a couple of pot smokers simply to maintain favored trade status with the United States. You know, this is just flat-out embarrassing if my country requires other countries to arrest pot smokers. I mean, pot, you know, the war on marijuana in our country is a political farce. And, you know, we've got a lot of things that we do for political purposes in our country, and that's our own problem. But to come down hard on our allies and other nations that have a more logical approach to these issues, to me it's just... it's embarrassing. So it's kind of hard to defend America's policy to a lot of things when you travel around Europe.
Now, Rick, you're out on the West Coast where we've seen a big change in the medical use issue. But how would you like to see marijuana laws sort of change overall in America?
Well, I'm in Seattle, and I'm not really into medical use of marijuana. I mean, I think it's sort of obvious that America has politicized science and medicine right now in our government. Scientists and doctors, their voices are heard only if they're giving answers that the administration wants to hear. It's reminiscent of what was going on in Germany in the 1930s, which is an unfortunate parallel to make, but it's too often it comes around to that. Frankly, I think talking about medical marijuana is it's just not for me. I'm talking about responsible use of recreational marijuana for adults, not for kids. If everybody in Seattle who smoked marijuana for recreational purposes was arrested tomorrow by a more effective war on marijuana waged by our government, Seattle overnight would become a much less interesting place. It would be a tragedy. And I think people who smoke pot and people who don't smoke pot would agree with me in that regard. I'd be out of business tomorrow if everybody who smokes pot was arrested. And I just think it's... if people knew, if these warriors against marijuana knew how many people they respect and love actually smoke pot recreationally, they'd be appalled. I know that from my own experience.
And in Amsterdam, the model allows people to purchase marijuana for recreational use. Here in the States, one of the big arguments is that if we legalize marijuana, everyone will just go out and grow it. But do you see that as the case happening over there in Holland?
Well, you know, carrots are legal, and I choose not to grow them. I buy them. I mean, I don't see any reason why, if marijuana was legal, I would treat it any different than apples or carrots. I think the great thing about decriminalizing marijuana in the European model is then law enforcement people know where the marijuana is. They have a great opportunity to create a firewall between soft drugs and the abuse of hard drugs. Crusty, conservative, law enforcement, anti-drug types in Europe, after a 10-year track record, agree that it is smart if your drug policy is designed to, in the interest of harm reduction, they agree that decriminalization is a smart move. Use does not go up I think use goes up among what is the deal? Short-term users, it goes up for a little while, but long-term, people settle into the lifestyle they're going to have anyways. Point is, use of marijuana among teens certainly doesn't go up because it's not legal. Use among adults does not go up remarkably. And I think there's a lot of Americans that think if marijuana was legalized, there'd be a floodgate of people who just want to ruin their lives by abusing drugs that would come out of the closets and screw themselves up. And Europe has found that this just isn't the case. It takes the crime out of marijuana. As soon as it becomes legal, there's no price goes way down. I mean, in Europe, you buy a little bag of marijuana for about the cost of a glass of wine, and you sit there, listen to great music in a wonderful pub-like ambience, if you choose, or you get your pot to go and you take it home with your friends. You don't see people wasted on the streets because of this or anything like that. You just don't have people driven into criminal activities to sell or support or target children, and you certainly don't have the cost to society of keeping 80,000 people in jail as we do today in the United States. Right now there's 80,000 people like you and me in jail because they were not very good at hiding their marijuana use.
Rick, as an advocate of reform here in the United States, where do you see the marijuana legalization movement right now? And what could maybe spur it along a bit?
Frankly, I'm pretty discouraged because I've never had less faith in the intelligence of the American electorate. Half of us, I guess, are basing our political stances on the belief that Armageddon's just around the corner. Half of us really believe that Saddam had something to do with 9/11. I mean, a major part of us believe that tears cause AIDS. There's so much fear and misunderstanding and political cowardice. This is an important fight to wage, but fear and the ease at which we allow the media to manipulate our perceptions on things is discouraging. I'm supporting Normal enthusiastically, and people like Norm Stamford are doing great things to bring attention to the fact that this is as harmful to our society as Prohibition was in the 1930s. It took courageous people to break down the prohibition against alcohol in the 1930s, and when they did stop Prohibition in the 1930s, it wasn't a societal declaration that alcohol is good. It was a declaration or a realization that it's stupid to criminalize people that want to drink beer and liquor. There's a huge difference there. And if Normal can get that idea across, we're not saying drugs are good. We're saying if you're interested in a drug policy that reduces harm to society, it makes more sense to treat marijuana as a medical problem rather than a criminal one. That's a pretty simple idea to get across. And I've had quite a bit of opportunity to talk in different radio shows and TV shows about this. And the astounding thing is, when you have enough attention span from your listeners to explain that you're not in favor of drug abuse, and you don't want kids to be smoking pot and all this kind of thing, people go right on. That's very sensible. People of all political persuasions can actually see the common sense of this. But that's the trick, is to get people to listen long enough. I'm interested in this just from what kind of splash it causes me in my business and so on. If I say something anti-war, I get a lot of flack and a lot of angry people. If I say something anti-war on drugs, I get people across the political spectrum saying right on. And that was courageous. And I just kind of have to think, why does it have to be courageous to talk this kind of common sense?
Rick, are you surprised by those overall attitudes in American society right now that'll give you a backlash for an anti-war message and then this positive response for an anti-drug war message?
Yeah, I am surprised at that. And so have people on – I've been on these local affairs, political affairs shows, on local public television stations and so on. And it was scary. Rick's going to talk about marijuana. You know, every time I do an interview, when the camera stops, the cameraman, the director, and the producer, they all wink and go right on. Boy, I'm glad you can say that. If we said that, we'd be out of a job in a hurry. You know, it's just that's the way it is. It's this, the whole media is kind of wink, wink, yeah, we're with you, but we can't say it or we'll lose our job. Teachers, when the DARE officer comes, that you can hear a pin drop in the teacher lounge because teachers cannot question the propaganda if they care about their own job security. It's a weird kind of atmosphere. And when I do speak out, because people don't need to vote for me, and if people are going to hear what I think about marijuana and they're going to not go on my tours, I think that's just probably a blessing, because I'd probably not want to travel with people like that. So I don't really care if people boycott me because of my comments on marijuana. I think it's very interesting, and it's surprising to the TV stations and the radio stations what kind of positive feedback there is when somebody says, "So Rick Steves, are you a pothead?" And I say, "Well, I don't think you should arrest marijuana for people for smoking marijuana, and I think this country would be a lot more boring if everybody who smoked pot was in jail." So, you know, I think it's I think there's in that regard, I think, Chris, there's a lot of hope for raising awareness of this issue and making some progress. But politicians need to understand this. In fact, this is what Normal is doing in a little initiative with me right now, is we are collecting the feedback I got from one of my TV interviews, which was virtually 100% supportive, and letting politicians know that it's not political suicide to be courageous on this issue. It's actually a plus. If you have any integrity, it's just a matter of truthfulness. But even if you're a political opportunist, you're not cutting your throat by talking about marijuana if you can keep people listening to understand that you're not soft on drug abuse. You're just smart on drug policy.
Rick, a deep thanks for your work out there, both in travel and with Normal's advisory board, and thanks for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and good luck in keeping this discussion going.
Rick Steves, host, writer, and producer of the public television series Rick Steves Europe, best-selling author of 30 European travel books. You can find out more about all of that and his new public radio program, Travel with Rick Steves, up on his website at ricksteves.com. We've got links to Rick's website right up on normalaudiostash.com. Now let's get to some stash music from the Hempilation 1 album. Here's Driving and Crying with Wayne Haynes.
Two rolling stones.
was the group Driving and Crying with Wayne Haynes from the Hempilation One album. That album put together by High Times Magazine and the Normal Foundation. Always some great music here on The Stash. And now it's time to get some laughs here from the CD, Pot's Greatest Hits, a stash of stand-up comedy. We've got links to buy it right up at normalaudiostash.com, and the profits do go to Normal. Everyone needs a good laugh.
When one of the marijuana loggers can't make a show, we're very lucky to get this next character to fill in for us. Try to catch his half-hour comedy special when it reruns for eternity in a day on Comedy Central. Here's Jimmy Dore.
Yeehaw! Well, I like to get high and watch Christian television. It's good, clean entertainment, and I love the faith healers. They're my favorite. They just hit you right there, and you, everything's boom, and you can see, and then boom, and then they can walk, you know? But it's always like that bouncy walk, you know? It's not a quality walk. Oh, I'm cured! I wouldn't call that a complete victory, I'll tell you. I think God still owes you a little on that one. But my favorite of the... nothing better than getting baked and watching Benny Hinn. And he's my favorite of the faith healers. He's got brass balls. Because this guy's doing one of the most wicked comb-overs in the history of Christian television, yet he's a faith healer, which, Jesus Christ, come on. Don't you think if you had the gift, you'd take 5 seconds to fix your bald spot before you try to cure someone's spine or something, you know? That's like being a faith healer with a limp. You don't have any faith in that guy. Oh, come here. Throw down the crutches. I'll heal you, brother. God damn this leg. I've got the gift. Line up. I'm going to need someone's chair to get out of here. Benny Hinn, I think it works. 20,000 people come to see Benny Hinn, so it's got to work. And he's up there fixing them left and right. Boom, and the cancer is gone. Boom, and the little toe is straightened. And I just want to say, Benny, if that really works, why don't you stop by the hospital on the way over? Oh, that's right, because you're a fucking liar. I forgot you're full of shit. My favorite, I love anti-pot commercials. Here's my favorite anti-pot commercial. Remember this one was like a little cartoon that had a kid narrating it? This is the joint that Joey bought. And this is the dealer who sold it to him. And then 20 people end up dead in Mexico. Shit, that took a turn. I did not know people were being killed for my marijuana, but yes, it's true. I know it's true because the government told me on TV, and why would they lie? People get drug tested now. I remember a time nobody got drug tested. Everything ran fine. Then all of a sudden in the 80s, they started scaring the shit out of us. They go, here, we're going to drug test the pilots. Why? Because you don't want to get on a plane if the pilots all hopped up on dope. And that makes sense, because every time I watch the TV show Cops and they break into a crack house, who's in there? Bunch of pilots. That's where it started. And now everybody gets the drug tested. I know a guy who works at the Gap, not bragging. He had to take a drug test to work at the Gap. And I gotta tell you, I feel a lot safer when I go into the Gap now, you guys. I don't have to worry about some stoner whipping a pair of khakis at my head. I'm so wasted. And when I travel around the country, I ask people how many people have been asked me to applaud. I know nobody in Hollywood gets drug tested, so I don't even ask here. They fucking drug tested Hollywood. This shit would shut down pretty quickly. Everybody gets the drug testing, that's my point. And people come up to me and they go, well, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you afraid of a drug test for? And those people are known as Satan's cocksuckers. And they totally miss the point. I always thought the cool part about America is that we have freedom and liberty and civil rights, and now we have to give that away to the first guy who offers us a job. That's the reward, by the way. If you pass the test, you get to work. Fucking A. What if I fail that test? You have to stay home and watch TV. I'd like to take that test over, I think, maybe. That is not a poppy seed. Well, I have an idea we can get rid of the drug testing. I was a guest on a morning radio show recently, and the radio station had just been bought by Clear Channel, which is, you know, the devil. And I asked the DJ, how is it different now that you work for the devil? And he told me that the first thing they did was they gave everybody a drug test. And I was like, holy shit. Because radio people party, that's why I used to want to work there. I go, what happened? He goes, everybody failed. I go, everybody? He goes, I go, what'd they do? He goes, well, they decided they can't do that shit to us anymore. I think you can tell that pots are pretty innocuous drug because they don't have any treatment programs for it at the drug treatment places, you know. If you shut up at a drug rehab for pot, they laugh you right out of the place, you know. What's your problem? I've been smoking a lot of weed. Get the fuck out of here. That's just some pussy who can't handle his weed out here. Why don't you go home and start drinking? Then mix a few Vicodin in, then come back. We can help you. That Vicodin, man. George Carlin just checked himself in for the Vicodin, and that's legal. That takes more people down. And last time I had it, I was at the pharmacy for a root canal, and I had the whole bottle right in my hand, and I was just like, oh, no. I don't want to waste this on pain.
That was comedy from the CD-DVD combo, Pot's Greatest Hits. We've got links to it right up on normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.